Welcome to the Idaho Pulse. This is your host, Tea Party Bob. Once again, greetings, fellow conservatives, to the 2026 and an opportunity to talk about some more of the issues that we'll be facing in this upcoming election year. Today, we're speaking with our great friend and president of the Idaho Freedom Foundation, Ron Nate. Welcome, Ron, to the Idaho Pulse, and thank you for joining us today.
It's great to be on. Happy New Year. It's great to see you after the holidays and right at the beginning of a legislative session. It's not like we won't have a lot to talk about.
Well, I think there's plenty to talk about, but let's hear what you want to start with, because this is your bailiwick here.
It's so I get to choose. I love that. One thing I'd like to talk about is We at the Idaho Freedom Foundation, we're entering this legislative session like we did last year. You know, we've always had a plan at the Idaho Freedom Foundation, what to do with legislation, things we want to work on, things we want to push, and most importantly, things we want to kill in the legislature, meaning legislation. But we're approaching this as wanting to act instead of waiting to be acted upon. So for the last two sessions, we have created what we call an Idaho Freedom and Family Agenda. It points out the big principles that we're working toward during the legislative session and what we're going to do to get it done. And we want to bring the legislators along. These are strong recommendations. We'll provide strong support for legislators in getting it done, providing talking points, everything we need to do to get it done. And we have strong expectations for getting it done. Now, knowing how our legislature operates, sometimes it doesn't happen. And so we need to hold accountable those who are getting in the way, like chairmen who put bills in drawers or committees who are voting the wrong way on freedom bills, especially in an election year. So we have a strong freedom and family agenda, and we want to tell people about it and get it going. Can I share some of it with you?
Let's go. Roll it.
Okay. Our freedom and family agenda, we want to prioritize serious tax reductions. So, and what that means is we got to cut government spending. The governor and the legislators have put our budget upside down. It's based on tax collections versus spending. We will end up in the red after this fiscal year if tax cuts or if spending cuts aren't made. We propose to the DOGE committee, and we propose to the governor and to the legislature through our budget press conference, up to $1.9 billion of cuts that could be made. And that would trim government and leave plenty of room for implementing a plan to phase out either property taxes or income taxes, certainly get rid of the grocery tax. And those are some front burner items. We want to restore Idaho's sovereignty. We want to safeguard Idaho from illegal immigration. We want to defend health freedom. There's still things we need to do to make sure that no adults or kids are required to get vaccinations against their will, and they shouldn't have to put their family's livelihood at risk, like losing a job over a vax mandate. Protect Idaho families and children from child protective services that goes off the rails sometimes, and reducing obstacles to home ownership. We want to reform our education system and expand school choice. It's not big enough. There's going to be families left out of true school choice because they're not awarding enough tax credits. So we have big plans. We're moving forward with this. We did a press conference. You can go on idahofreedom.org and see the entire press conference. It's, I don't know, 25 minutes of your day, but it'll be well worth it, and you'll know what to ask your legislators and your candidates when they're running for office.
Well, I like everything you said, but after reading through the governor's state of the state, I don't think you're going to have an awful lot of luck here, because that's not where he's aiming.
I'm on my screen here. I am working on an article about just summarizing the state of the state address and, some first thoughts on it. Really, I'll give away what my article's about. It's a nothing burger. Idaho needs a bacon burger with fries. We got a nothing burger and a word salad instead. And there was very little of substance. He was making silly jokes. He got confused. He called himself the lieutenant governor there at one point. And there's nothing of substance in there other than he wants to take federal money for rural health care, further putting Idaho as subservient to the federal government somehow. If we have a rural health issue, let's let markets take care of it. Let's let Idaho take care of Idaho and not further rely on the federal government for things. So there was very little substance, a lot of platitudes like let's do income growth, let's make Idaho prosperous, but no real substance to the speech. And so I'll publish my article probably tomorrow and get on idahofreedom.org. You can see Fred's great analysis of the governor's budget proposal, Fred Birnbaum. We published that yesterday, and so you can see in there that he's not really changing the structure of the budget. He's doing a few stopgap measures to get us just barely into the black, but he's really kicking the can down the road on making serious budget reform.
He's been playing kick the can for 7 years.
Well, he identified that in his tenure, they've increased public education spending by 70%. Increased public education spending by 70%.
Enrollment, and what has it done for us in public education in our ratings?
Enrollments are stagnant or falling, and the proficiency third grade through eighth grade in math and reading, stagnant. They're at the low 30s. 30% proficiency. Is that money well spent? Is public education working for Idaho, or is it letting kids down?
Well, you can see what's going on by the registrations in the public schools going into kindergarten next year. In fact, they're already looking at a substantial amount of kids that are going to be going to private schools.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so this public choice tax or parental choice tax credit, I encourage parents to exercise it. Go to your private schools, claim that credit on your tax bill. Up to $5,000 can be awarded off your tax liability. And if your liability isn't even $5,000, it's refundable. So you could actually get a check from government for the difference. But that is the best opportunity Idaho parents have had in my lifetime here in Idaho, over 25 years now, that this is the best opportunity for parents to choose the best education for their kids and not have to pay double.
Now, I agree. The big problem here is you got tremendous resistance from the education department and the people who work in it to keep the status quo. And I don't know how far that lawsuit has gone. His name was pushing through. And I call him what's his name because I don't think he knows what he's talking about half the time.
Oh, including who he is. Was it James Jones? Is he leading?
Yes, of course. Who else could it be?
And some representatives in the legislature, get this, they're suing over this. So they lost in the legislative process. They couldn't convince enough of their colleagues that it was a bad bill. And so now they're suing the very state that they work for to try and get the actions of the legislature overturned. I think it's really kind of an ugly situation for legislators to be doing that.
I think what we should do is we should pass a bill that if you sue the government that you're working for, you should lose your seat.
Yeah, especially on an issue where you had a chance to vote for it. You had a chance to meet on the floor and convince your legislators, but you lost. And so instead of running to the courts, you ought to just propose a better solution next legislative session.
See, so, the problem I find is that most of these legislators, as I am a very few, don't really know what the hell they're talking about. And when you take a look at the ones that have been in there the longest, they're the most egregious.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And so we've actually documented this and observed it over time. We do the Freedom Index. We do a spending index now, too. And so we can track legislators' actual votes. It's not what they say. It's how they actually vote on legislation. And the longer a legislator is there, the lower their score tends to get. I think I've only seen one legislator over historically looking at this where their score has gone up significantly.
I'm not surprised. And when I take a look at people like Jason Monks and Mike Moyle and some of the others, these cronies that have been around, they started off on the right foot. And all of a sudden, they jumped over the fence and landed in a bog of some kind. And the more important thing to them now is moving up in stature and deciding what they want to do, not what their constituents want them to do. That is the real serious problem we have here in Idaho. And those people continue to vote them into office.
Yeah, and I'd say, too, I would rather have a legislator who stuck to a conservative set of principles, said what they are, stuck to those principles, and you could count on them for being conservative that way. I don't like legislators who stick their finger in the wind and say, hey, what do the people want me to do?
I think most of them stick their finger up their nose.
That's funny.
If they can pick something good, you know?
You betcha. And so that's what Idaho Freedom Foundation is about. We're about legislator accountability, governor accountability. They all talk a good conservative game, but the Freedom Index doesn't lie. It tells you how they actually vote. And so I'd put this out there to your listeners. If you're in a legislative district and you have a legislator whose score has gone down significantly, that is a great opportunity for you to run for office or find somebody good to run for office. When I ran for office the first time, I was running against a legislator who was scoring C or worse on the Freedom Index. And I certainly let every person I talked to know about that. And I ended up winning by spending half the money that my opponent did, just by exposing that they aren't the conservative they claim to be. And so the Freedom Index is a great tool for you or a friend to go and run for office and tell the voters exactly what's going on in their district.
Well, listen, I had somebody tell me this morning on the radio that I should run for governor. Run I for said, governor. I've already been down that road. I don't want to do that.
Well, you know, you could make the governor's office a lot simpler than it is just simply by saying, hey, I'm going to veto every non-freedom bill. I'll sign every freedom bill. And let's do this. Let's cut the government budget in half. It was a fascinating exercise to see Governor Little last fall say, hey, look, it looks like our tax collections aren't coming in very high. You need to do an across the board 3% cut. And you know what? The sky didn't fall. It was amazing that these agencies and the governor believes that these agencies all have excess capacity of 3% without a significant loss of services. And sure enough, it was accomplished.
It's called padding, Ron.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I don't trust anybody who has been in government for more than 10 years that they don't utilize this as a way to get more money to play their game.
Yeah, I was just talking to an agency director yesterday, proposing a program for Idaho. And of course, my question is, how much is this going to cost? And the answer was, it won't cost the taxpayers anything because we're using excess fees that we already collect and excess taxes that we already have. And so we'll use those to pay for this program instead of asking for more money, which to me says you're overfeeing and overtaxing. That money should never have been collected. If you have capacity to start a new program without asking for more tax dollars, it means that you are being wasteful already.
They're too fat. We need to cut them down. Put them on a diet.
Put them on a diet. So anyway, leave that all to say, I was not impressed by the governor's State of the State address. He didn't get into specifics very often, except talking about that one number of public schools and the other one about rural health care, wanting to spend the money that's coming from the federal government, hundreds of millions of dollars. I think it's approaching $300 million over
it's 2 billion years. It's a billion.
Well,
that's the number I read.
Okay. And For some reason, because it comes from a Trump administration, it's less tainted than federal dollars. I'm not buying it. We do not need to be subservient to the federal government for rural health care dollars. So the two specifics he gave in his address were both lead balloons, as far as I'm concerned. And the rest of it was just platitudes like economic growth and prosperity and more affordability with no substance behind it. It was just a nothing burger.
Let me give you a quick gem that I got yesterday from a doctor who I've known for a long time, who was visiting out of state, needed to get some pills, simple pills, potassium pills. Mm-hmm. And he called up the people at one of our major hospitals here in Idaho and asked them if they would send them out to him at his particular location. And so they did that. And then he got a bill mm-hmm. for $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Then he checked with the pharmacy that he normally gets his pills from and found out those same pills, same amount, same kind, $15. Tell you something.
Once the healthcare provider learns that you're on health insurance, prices go up. There's a different pricing schedule for insurance covered versus private covered. And to me, that is insurance fraud. That if you can provide it cheaper for the private case and then you up the prices for insurance, that sounds like insurance fraud to me. You're ripping off insurance companies for excess costs that they didn't really need to bear. And because it's a third-party provider, health insurance, there hasn't really been a check on healthcare costs that way. And do you think it's going to be better if government is the sole provider of health insurance? Do you? No, it's...
That was the whole Obama principle. One way to get health insurance. Yep. And look what's happened. It has become so unaffordable that they can't even figure out how to put it back together. It's like Humpty Dumpty.
One of my favorite economists, Walter Williams, said, just take a look at the world out there. If you're talking about markets, you know, a free market for healthcare and health insurance versus government provision, he goes, look at the places where people are most satisfied in the world. You're satisfied. Are you satisfied with your food choices, with grocery stores, with FedEx and UPS, with the relatively low cost of televisions versus the quality that they have now? But then he says, look at the places where you're least satisfied. Garbage collection, public schools, the DMV. You know, whenever government touches something, it's like the reverse Midas thing, it goes to crap. But when it's left to markets, that's where people are most satisfied. So we shouldn't be surprised that as we turn healthcare and health insurance over to the government, we're going to have rationing, we're going to have less quality and higher costs, and we're supposed to like it.
Which is one of the reasons I live where I do. You know, when you talk about trash collection, I have the option of having it collected or delivering it to the trash bin myself.
Yeah.
And I take it down there, as I would say 75% of the people who live in this area do.
Great.
So, yeah, I like the fact that I have the option. And I have other options like that. But when it comes to healthcare, very few options. In fact, I have one option this year. As somebody who is past the age of 65 and has Medicare, I only get the choice of one healthcare provider. It's St. Al's, and the closest facility is 100 miles away.
Well,
gotta tell you something.
Keep your car tuned up. Keep it running. Hey, another thing happened this week. Besides the governor's address, you know, there's been a bit of turnover in the legislature. I don't know if you knew this, but Lance Clow retired. They replaced him.
You mean Lance Clown?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I think Kevin Andrus took a position in the new administration. Wendy Horman did as well. And so it created some gaps. And so it moved Josh Tanner to co-chair of JFAC, and instead of being assistant majority leader. And so there were elections in the House Republican caucus for new leadership. And apparently that whole meeting on Sunday night before the legislature started blew up a bit. There were angry words. The meeting didn't go well. They did have the elections. But so whatever the election was, you know, and the assistant majority leader, I think that is now Brad Pickett is the assistant majority leader. Is it? Yeah, I think that's his name. And but there was a shakeup in the committees. And Mike Moyle moved people off some committees and onto other committees and reshuffled them and made two committees significantly weaker in terms of conservative principles. Health and welfare and House State Affairs are now much less conservative than they were because of changing even two positions on those committees. And it sounded like Moyle wasn't doing it for principled reasons, but just to stick it to committee chairs.
Well, I have my druthers about Mike Moyle. I've known him for many years. We used to be friends. We used to fight together down at the legislature during committee meetings. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate part about Mike is Mike has delusions of grandeur that someday he will be the governor of this state. And this is a guy his last election by a little less or a little more than 100 votes. So I would suggest to Mike that he had better mind his P's and Q's, because people are now actually looking hard at what he's doing and why he's doing it.
That's right. And I'm going to show how this blows back on policy. One of the most important policy bills this session would be to repeal Medicaid expansion. It was passed in Idaho on a ballot initiative based on a lie told to the Idaho voters. They were told it was going to cost $400 million. Now it's $1.3 billion. The legislature ought to act and repeal it and just say, you know what? We're not going to let Idahoans be lied to and tricked into this sort of a mess. It is a budget buster. That bill needs to go through health and welfare, both on the Senate and House side. But if he's monkeying around with committee assignments and health and welfare got less conservative, if it either doesn't get heard in that committee or fails in that committee, there ought to be some accountability on that, because that is the one bill that I think needs to pass this session. And then all the budget bills need to be looked at very closely, because we should not be spending as much as we are in Idaho. So we're ready to act on both of those, and we're watching very closely what happens. I hope these House shenanigans with committee assignments hasn't ruined things there.
Well, unfortunately, knowing Mike Moyle and the fence sitter he has been for most of his career, I will say that he's fallen to the left side of the fence and really doesn't understand how far south that might take him, unfortunately. But I think that
the longer you're there, the lower your scores are. But also, as you have political aspirations, you do things that are less consequential. Try and play it safe. You try and protect those big constituencies like hospitals and industry that's in cozy with government, and then you don't do what's right for the people anymore.
But that's why, you know, you find companies like Simplot and Chobani, they never say anything about the grocery tax. Not a word. Because they want to see it there. And they control a lot of what goes on in our legislature.
Yep. And so, that's why we exist. Inform the people, move the needle, cause change in the legislation that's being put through, whether or not it passes, and if needed, the change in the membership of the legislature just by exposing the truth.
Well, I will tell you that Little came out and pretty broadly said, we are not getting rid of Medicaid extension. It's staying.
If you had a strong legislature, it doesn't matter what the governor thinks.
Well, we had a strong legislature during Butch Otter, and we got rid of the grocery tax, and he vetoed it.
That's right. He vetoed it after we adjourned. So did you know that the House or the legislature changed its rules after that. They're not going to let the governor get away with post.
I do.
Yeah, vetoes. And so at least that's in place. So now we know that if we get something passed and he vetoes it, it will always be the opportunity to vote on it. Tax conformity. This is kind of a complicated little issue, but I'll explain it just very briefly. Trump's big, beautiful bill changed the calculation of doing your income taxes. So it was an income tax cut. Because Idaho's income amounts are determined by what's on your federal income tax form, it translates into a state income tax cut as well, if Idaho conforms to the federal code on defining income, which is what we do every year. We always do that just to make the calculation easier. If we conform this year, it's something like $165 million of tax cuts. The governor is contemplating and kicking around doing partial conformity, which would be a mess for your tax calculations, but would also reduce those tax cuts. Furthermore, the governor is implying that tax conformity and incorporating those tax cuts would be the only tax cuts that he would approve for Idahoans this year. That's not enough. That's not enough. Idahoans, we need to be on a path to completely getting rid of income taxes. I think that would be a great move, and to repeal the grocery tax. And it's, I frankly am bored with a legislature or a governor who says, well, we can't afford it because the budget's kind of tight this year. You control the budget. You can untie. Yeah, cut. Yeah.
You need to remember something. The fatter a pig gets, the more he wants to eat.
Okay. Well, yeah. We see that with politicians all the time, especially those that have the big special interests in their office all the time. But anyway, so we are laser focused on looking at what is done with tax cuts and tax conformity. And that usually happens early in the session. I'm working with legislators, encouraging them to put real tax cuts in the conformity bill so that the governor has no choice but to do the tax conformity and a tax cut in the same bill. And it can be done. It's a single subject. Tax cuts are a single subject. Last thing I want to talk about is, you know that the Idaho Freedom Foundation is always engaged in what's going on during the legislative sessions. And for the last 3-4 years, we've been doing Capitol Clarity, where we invite the public to come to the Capitol and get weekly updates on various policy issues and what's going on in the Capitol. We're introducing it this year. It's not going to be during the afternoon anymore. We found out people sometimes have a hard time getting there, so we're doing it at 6 p.m. on Thursdays. 6 p.m. in the Capitol, in the Lincoln Auditorium. You can come and learn about what's going on in the legislature during the session. This one starts tomorrow night. Is it tomorrow night? Yeah, it's tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And we're doing Legislature 201, talking to folks about how to get involved.
Could you do me a favor? Could you write up, excuse me, a little something about what this is all about, what time it is, who the speakers are going to be? I will put this in and get the word out for you that way.
Absolutely. I will just forward you the information and you can put it up on your website. And I look forward to seeing as many of your listeners as possible Thursday night. If you can't make it to the Capitol, if you're up in Marcing or something, or out in New Meadows, just snowed in and don't like to drive, you can watch it on a stream.
Ah, that's wonderful. And you're going to send a link out on that stream, or?
Yeah, absolutely. You can just go to Idaho Freedom Foundation on Facebook, on X, or on Instagram, and you can link to it at 6 o'clock on Thursday.
Okay, because I'm only on X. I don't get on any of the others anymore.
Oh, of course you don't.
Listen, I had a million hits on my Facebook. They cut me down to 10,000. I don't do that anymore.
That's good. Good for you. Stand up. Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to a great legislative session. Keep me informed of things that are going on around the state, and I will bring it to the legislators. We're going to bring the truth to the people of Idaho. Stay tuned to idahofreedom.org. Keep tuning in to Idaho Pulse every week. It's it's really on base in terms of what's going on in Idaho. So thank you, Bob, for all your work.
Thank you, Ron, for all your work. You're the one who is really digging in there. Just keep digging, because, you know, sooner or later you'll dig enough of a hole that these guys will actually fall in it.
Yeah, well, you know, we keep the pressure on. We're outnumbered here. We lose more than we win, but when we win, it's big and significant and all the sweeter. So we're never going to give up. We're going to keep pushing.
God bless you, my friend. Keep going forward.
Thank you, friends. You bet.
Have a good day.